Welcome to the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast. All the information you need to make the most of your fantasy football league with just a touch of sarcasm to keep you from taking yourself too seriously. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this latest episode of the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast. It is Memorial Day weekend, the weekend when we celebrate the true heroes of war, those that didn't make it home. It's not just cooking out in the barbecue and having a picnic, enjoying the warm weather.
Well, it is a little.
Well, a little bit, but it's more about remembering the true heroes. Correct?
Yes, thanks. Thank you, all vets.
It's Friday. Well, not vets. Dead vets.
Dead vets. Sorry.
But, yeah. Oh. Anyways, it's Friday. It probably wasn't very politically correct, was it? It's good. Our show, I have a feeling our show's going to be like that a lot. I'm going to need your conscience.
Yeah.
Your conscious. Conscience? Conscience. Not conscious. Unconscious.
Yes.
You know. You're going to be using that a lot today, by the way.
Okay.
Just letting you know.
Oh, God. Here we go. So I'm going to have to say, in your opinion, is that what you're saying?
May 25th, 2018. In this episode, we got all kinds of stuff for you. We got news and notes, which includes a bunch, since we haven't done this in almost 3 weeks because of vacations and everything. By the way,
welcome back.
I was in California. And I'm still okay. I didn't let the place corrupt me like it has Steve Kerr.
Oh, is he not a joke?
That's coming up too. Okay. Steve Kerr, California is corrupting him. We need him back to when he was a Chicago Bull. Right?
A little rough around the edges when he was with the Bulls.
Well, a little more commonsensical.
Yeah.
But so we got news and notes. In news and notes, we got all kinds of old stuff mixed with some new stuff. I kind of like mixed it all up so that it wasn't, you know, stuff that's really old. And then Dan's going to have to, for one of the stories, Dan's going to really need to rein me in and let me know if I'm getting a little out of hand because it has to do with the cheerleaders in the NFL. I don't know if you remember that story from a week or two ago.
Which one? Because there's been
the Washington Redskins.
Oh, yes.
And then we have some gambling starts. Now that the draft is done, Vegas has come out with the over-under on team wins. So we're going to run through a little bit of that. And, you know, there's a couple here that I'm kind of worried about.
There's a lot that I'm worried.
Some of those were really tough.
They were, like, right on number-wise on what I would have normally
said. Because I went and looked at, but we'll get to that later on, and we can go through all that later on. But questions, comments, concerns, feel free to email us, cffpodcast@hotmail.com or Dan at
strap1971@yahoo.com.
And everything we talk about, the bets will be up there, our fantasy girl of the week. We are not, by the way, have you noticed, Sports Illustrated's website, they copied us.
Uh-oh.
They used to do a lovely lady of the day on their website.
Right.
I just noticed that for about a month or so, they've stopped doing that. Yet, this is the same organization that puts out a swimsuit issue every year. So the hypocrisy is crazy. I'm sure they wanted to make it look like they were all about, you know, the air quote women's rights. But when it all comes down to it, they're just pandering for listeners or for readers and trying to make themselves feel good. But we will not be deterred.
We do not do that.
We still love and cherish the female body.
That's right.
And we're here to worship it.
And there's nothing wrong with what we're doing.
No, there's not. There's not. But that's coming up later. Your chance to guess the measurements. Because we will not be torn off from that. And like I said, it's been a few weeks. So you see this pack of news here?
Yeah, you got a lot of paper there.
It's like my own version of World War and Peace.
Look in your backyard. You cut down a tree or something? Or?
So should we get right into this?
Let's go.
All right, here we go.
Hey,
there's a reason why Vegas is, you know, Vegas.
Why is that?
They know how to put those numbers in.
Yeah,
they
dead nuts.
So we're gonna get going with the news and notes. Like I said, it's been a while, so we got a lot to cover. The first one, it's a story I love to do every time I get a chance to.
Johnny Manziel.
The Andrew Luck throwing a football saga. It is reported that he still has not thrown a ball this week during organized team activities, which led to head coach Frank Reich saying he is not sure if Luck will throw before the end of June minicamp, but that he is confident that Luck will ramp things up in time for training camp. We should have had this one, speaking of which, coach talk coming up in a little bit too. Should have had this in there. What does he really mean by that?
I don't know. What do you think?
I think he's hoping that Luck will be ready.
I'm hoping.
You still have him, don't you?
Well, no, I just love Andrew Luck.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
No, I don't get it. I'm going to remind everybody of this one more time. Because when it happens, I don't want people to say, how come you didn't tell me this? Andrew Luck is done. Draft him at your own risk. Understood?
Don't believe him, guys. Andrew Luck will be a top 10 quarterback.
He will never be a top 10 quarterback again.
Okay.
A team official for the Dallas Cowboys has come out and said that the main reason for letting go of Dez Bryant was that he didn't have the ability to win a one-on-one matchup anymore. You think that's true? I mean, he was never really a great receiver.
Right.
50-50 type guy, would basically just beat his defender bad and have no other choice than to make a catch. Or he'd get beaten up and eaten up by a defender and drop the ball. That's Dez Bryant's career.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
At the end, he's making very few catches, and he cost his team more than he helped them, right?
Yeah, but he also made a spectacular catch against the Packers.
Oh, you mean the incomplete pass?
No, that was a catch.
It was not a catch.
Oh, he's going to be a Packer, by the way.
Did you hear what Aaron Rodgers said? He goes, why would you cut Jordy Nelson because and then bring in Dez Bryant? But he's terrible. We just signed Mercedes Lewis.
Yeah, exactly. Why did we do that?
To be a blocking tight end. Because we need one.
We are not the Patriots. We don't have a quarterback of Tom Brady's caliber.
And did you notice, too, that... Stop. There were also reports that there are very few teams that aren't even willing to sign him for the league minimum.
Dez Bryant?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm just saying. That's why the Packers are going to sign him. Well, here's this one. You did your schedule. And with all
for
the
our
teams.
Bets,
yeah,
yes.
Do the Packers play the Cowboys this year?
Yes.
Okay, then there's a chance that we'll sign Dez Bryant.
You think so?
Yeah.
We don't need Dez Bryant to beat the Cowboys.
Well, no, I'm just saying he only wants to play for somebody
a team that plays the Cowboys.
Cowboys, right?
Well, I should look at that. I shouldn't just go and say this right away. Maybe while I'm doing the rest of the stuff, you can Google up the Green Bay Packers schedule.
I can do that.
You know, and it makes me wonder, too. It's like, why would he turn down the Ravens' offer? If no one's even willing to give him a one-year deal, the Ravens offered him a couple years.
Right. But they're terrible.
But you think somebody's going to sign him at the last minute, somebody that's desperate for a player?
Well, Jason Witten, a while back, said that he thinks the Packers are going to sign him.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what does Jason Witten know? Please.
He's probably forgot more than I know.
It's going to be a disaster for wherever he goes. That's why I don't want him on the Packers. He's not going to want to be there. He's going to be a major headache.
Yeah, but he can't bitch at his quarterback when his quarterback's...
amazing like Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah. Let's just go with that.
Yeah, okay. Scary thing about the Packers, it's going to turn into a Martellus Bennett thing if they sign him.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying it's going to be good. I just think they're going to sign him.
Word out of Washington Redskins camp. They are expecting Darius Geis to be the starter for the Redskins. Rookie Darius Geis from LSU. Remember the I mean, he's granted, he's almost already the most talented running back in Washington, right?
Right.
And then even though he fell in the draft due to all those concerns about his personal stuff, you know, with the social media and the playing video games and whatever the hell it was about, which caused Washington to get him at a steal of a pick after Seattle shit the bed and picking Rashad Penny.
Tell me how you really feel.
And speaking of Jason Witten, it's time for the latest overreaction in the NFL. Jason Witten is officially retired, and just like every other time when this happens to a marginal player in the NFL, the talk has already started. Jason Witten is a first ballot Hall of Famer. You on board with this?
You don't think he is?
I mean, it's not as crazy as Richie Incognito thinking he would be in the Hall of Fame at all, much less, you know, first ballot.
Yeah.
I mean,
Incognito's
unless there. He's paying to get in there as a visitor.
I
don't believe he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He might be a Hall of Famer. He's not a first ballot. He will likely get in because it comes down to the fact that they are letting practically anyone into the Hall of Fame nowadays. So maybe Richie Incognito does have a chance.
Oh, no.
And he's a Cowboy. He's got zero championships.
Well, he's a Cowboy. Now he's doing football games. I think he's easily a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Zero championships.
Right.
Part of the most overrated, overhyped group of so-called superstars ever to walk onto a football field. Romo, Dez Bryant, Jason Witten.
I think he's totally a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, this might have to be a rainbow bet. Well, I ain't going to let that shit sit up here for 7 years.
No, I'm not going to waste it.
Okay. Speaking of first ballot Hall of Famers, Atlanta quarterback Matt Ryan has agreed to a contract extension, one that will make him the highest paid player in the league until Aaron Rodgers signs his new deal. 5-year contract that will pay Ryan $30 million per year with a $100 million guarantee.
Just so our listeners know, the only reason why Dave's talking so highly of Matt Ryan is right now he's on Dave's football team.
And he's amazing. MVP.
As soon as Dave gets rid of him, then he's going to be Matt Ryan, the piece of shit.
Everyone can thank the overpaying of Kirk Cousins for his craziness, right?
Right.
I mean, these contracts are sooner or later going to end up hurting.
Well, sooner or later, yeah.
A team in general.
Yeah.
Did you hear, speaking of crazy contracts hurting a team, did you hear Le'Veon Bell?
What's he want?
So he signs his, well, maybe he hasn't signed it yet, but when he signs his
franchise
tender, he's going to be the number one paid running back in the league.
Right.
$14 million a year. The next closest running back, $8 million.
And that's?
I don't know who it is, but he wants his contract to be $17 million a year.
Holy shit.
Can you imagine paying a running back? I don't even know what the percentage is. I mean, that's over 10% of your salary cap, right?
Do you think he's going to hold out or?
Depends if Antonio Brown keeps getting on his ass the way he is.
Oh, I didn't hear.
Oh, yeah, Antonio Brown saying, you know, you got to get in here and play. You want a big contract, you got to play.
And now that Ben Roethlisberger wants to play for another 3 or 4 years.
There's no way. What do you think the over-under on Ben Roethlisberger is? Two
more seasons, do you think?
That would be the number I would set, and then you have to go over or under that.
No, that's a good setting. I'd,
two? One, so 1.5?
If Pittsburgh,
you would go over 1.5?
If Pittsburgh goes out in the first round of the playoffs like they did.
He's done?
I think he's done.
Sam Darnold looks to be the one. Actually, this is changing now because they're talking about how Baker Mayfield may now be starting for the Cleveland Browns. Sam Darnold's going to be starting for the Jets. Well,
Josh Rosen's going to start for the Cardinals.
You think so?
Oh.
With Sam Bradford there? Wow. I mean, it's all going to come down to how quickly these guys take on the playbook and
right.
How they look in, you know, the preseason and all that. But, and then Hackenberg got traded. So
for a used condom,
we're left with Bryce Petty. No, no, they released Bryce Petty.
Right.
Traded Hackenberg. So that means they have
Bridgewater,
Bridgewater, who?
McCown.
Oh, McCown is still there?
Yep.
And Darnold.
And Darnold.
Which is completely, I thought for sure Bridgewater would be gone. Maybe, well, maybe he still will.
And yeah, just like I don't think, I'd be shocked if Bradford stays on. With the money that they're paying Bradford, I'm going to be shocked that if he'll be on the team.
All right. Well, we're going to get into now is the airing of the grievances of the NFL part of this news and notes. Thing that I know you're really excited about. The NFL has passed a new league-wide policy regarding the national anthem. Teams have the choice to have players stay in the locker room until the anthem performance is complete. If a player is on the field during the anthem, they are required to stand and show respect for the anthem and the flag. Individual clubs will have the power to set their own policies to ensure the anthem is being respected during any on-field action. If a player chooses to protest on the sidelines, the NFL will fine the team. The player also could be fined by his team. So not by the NFL, but by the team that could be fined.
But I thought they also said something to the effect of there could be a 15-yard penalty. Or
well, that was how they were going to start. If a player protested, there would be a 15-yard penalty. But that turned into...
Well, what if both teams have a player that protests?
Well, I mean, that's the way we would fix it, right?
Right.
Which I think is why they went with the fine. So, you want to say anything before I get going on this stuff?
Are you talking about what I was talking with my analogy of what happens when a white guy
gets shot by a black cop?
Right.
Or a white cop gets shot by a black criminal? Like, right. Happens all the time?
Right. Then does a prominent white player get to kneel down and say he's protesting
black abuse by criminals?
Right.
By the African American Criminal Society?
It's probably not a great analogy, but
it's fair because I would love to see Colin Kaepernick answer that question with his Malcolm X t-shirt on and his pig socks and his girlfriend sending out tweets with Django Unchained with the Baltimore Ravens ownership.
And I probably shouldn't even brought it up because all it's going to do is fuel you a little bit more than what you...
Well, I have like 3 pages on this. I wasn't really fueled. In fact, I wasn't going to do this until you said something. And then I started watching ESPN.
Right.
Which, do they even do sports anymore?
No, I don't think
so. It's like MTV not doing music videos. It's turned into the entertainment and sports politics network.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
It's a joke. I'm watching them and everybody they have on there, no one understands what the hell they're talking about. I mean, I'm not a constitutional scholar, and I don't think you are either.
No, really?
but you understand the First Amendment, right? Everything they're bitching about, which they keep saying, I have a constitutional right to do this. No, you don't.
Right.
The First Amendment only protects you from the government infringing on your right to free speech. The First Amendment does not cover work policy rules and policies.
Right.
Which, this is a workplace issue. This isn't anything to do with the Constitution.
But what I love about, I mean, with where you were going with that, with people saying they have a constitutional right to do what they want, and I'm going to say, yeah, you do have a right to do what you want.
On your own time.
Right. Well, right. But I also want to say, then I should be able to say what I want about what I think you're doing.
Well,
then it seems like that's not allowed. If you're against one of the players, you're wrong. You shouldn't be able to say that.
I should
be able to say what I want to say.
And which is another thing that they forget.
Right.
They forget that, yes, they have a right to say things.
Right.
But they don't have a right to be heard. They don't have a right that, hey, I have a First Amendment right to say whatever I want and do whatever I want, or not even do whatever, but say whatever I want.
Right.
But there's nothing in the First Amendment that says everybody needs to listen to them.
Right.
Pound their crap down somebody's throat. You know, it's like, I have a Second Amendment, and we brought this up on one of the other episodes where we were talking about this. I have a Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms.
Right.
But I'm not allowed to do that at work. I get fired.
You think?
No, I mean, that's right. Part of the policy.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not like this is some thing where they're being denied. Jason, I know you don't like this, but I watched the Colin Kaepernick or Colin Cowherd, Jason Whitlock Speak for Yourself show. Jason Whitlock hit it on the head. He said, you have, because they had, this was when they had, where is it? I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget it, and here I am effing around. Cliff Avril,
yeah,
former Seahawk, was on Speak for Yourself with Cowherd and Jason Whitlock. And much like all these other guys, ran his mouth without knowing what the hell he's talking about. He believes the anthem is his time to have a platform for his political displays. And he also believes that his employer doesn't have the right to tell him what he should do while he's on the clock. And this is where Jason Whitlock went to him and said, you know, you forget that it's your employer that's paying you to be on that field.
Right, exactly.
And then they have the right to make the rules, just like you have a right to do this. But his bigger thing was that he goes, you know, there's nothing wrong with you making these comments. There's nothing wrong with Colin Kaepernick running his mouth, whatever he wants to do. He's got 6 days and 21 hours to do whatever he wants.
Yep. But they never do.
No, they don't, because no one's watching them.
Right.
No one's watching them on TV. There's no camera on them. There's no Tony Romo in the stand or in the booth talking about them.
Exactly.
Malcolm Jenkins.
Oh, God.
Outspoken, underappreciated, newfound social justice warrior for the Eagles, responded about the whole NFL thing. What NFL owners did today was thwart the players' constitutional rights to express themselves and use our platform to draw attention to social justice like racial inequality in our country. Everyone loses when voices get stifled, Jenkins said. While I disagree with this decision, I will not let it silence me or stop me from fighting the national conversation around race in America that NFL players forced over the past 2 years will persist as we continue to use our voices, our time, and our money to create a more fair justice, criminal justice system, end police brutality and foster better education, blah, blah, blah. For me, this has never been about taking a knee, lie,
right,
raising a fist, lie, or anyone's patriotism, but doing what we can to effect real change for real people. Hashtag the fight continues. First of all, like I said, you don't have a constitutional right to protest while you're at work.
Right.
You only have that in your own time. Great man once said, this is why I already said that to you, because I'm repeating. Oh, man. The Pampered Babies, well, not only, they have no idea what they're even fighting for.
No.
And I said this about Colin Kaepernick, too. The knowledge of what he thinks he's fighting for could barely fit in a shot glass.
Yeah.
I mean, he likes to run his mouth, and it all sounds good, and he was ripping on the kid that with the hoodie that got shot in Florida, the kid in Missouri that got shot, that was attacking the cop, you know, all this stuff to run their mouth. And
but don't you want to also talk about the, didn't this past week, didn't some cop in, I forgot where, but didn't he just get run over and killed
by a criminal?
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me.
But I mean, it
and then the blithering idiocy that came out of the mouth of NBA head coach Steve Kerr, who has lost all common sense ever since he stepped out foot into California to coach the Warriors. Get this. Steve Kerr said about the NFL decision. It's just typical of the NFL. They're just playing to their fan base, basically just trying to use the anthem as fake patriotism, nationalism, scaring people. It's idiotic. But that is how the NFL conducted their business. He continued, I'm proud to be in a league that understands patriotism in America.
Doesn't the NBA?
Is about free speech and peaceful protesting.
But the NBA does not allow their players to.
Well, he forgets that the NFL.
Careful.
Copied the NBA's policy.
Exactly.
On the national anthem. You remember when Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf
yep.
was sitting down?
Yep.
And he basically got run out of the NBA because he refused to stand for a national anthem after they made the policy.
Yep.
Kept getting suspended and this and that. Steve Kerr was playing back then. He was there when all this was going on.
Right.
And he's talking about how the NFL is the slave owners and this and that. And I'm like, dude.
The NFL is copying your league.
The NFL just gave away $100 million to the players' social justice fund. What has the NBA done? Nothing.
Nothing.
All the NBA lets them do is wear a T-shirt during free throws or during warm-ups that says, I can't breathe, or Trayvon Martin, live forever, or whatever it is.
This is where you're making me uncomfortable.
Okay. Okay. Well, you just tell me. Okay. In your opinion, Kerr continued, our leadership in the NBA understands when the NFL players were kneeling, they were kneeling to protest police brutality, to protest racial inequality. Really, Steve? Were they? I remember countless times last season that the players, when asked by reporters, had little idea why they were doing what they were doing. Some used the fake police brutality and social justice garbage, but others were just doing it for the camera. They weren't disrespecting the flag or the military, but our president, Steve Kerr said. Our president decided to make it about that, and the NFL followed suit, pandered to their fan base, created hysteria. They were disrespecting the flag. When you don't stand for the anthem and show respect for the flag or for those military personnel that gave and fought and died for your right to act like a petulant child, they're acting like you're disrespecting the flag in the military, no matter what you say. But in fact, I even did a little research.
But, okay.
Colin Kaepernick. Remember how this all started?
Yes.
How did it start?
That no one paid attention that he was kneeling the first.
That he was sitting on the bench.
Yep. Or sitting, I'm sorry, sitting on the bench.
Never told his coaches that, hey, I'm going to sit on the bench. I'm trying to make a statement.
Yep. And no one ever even noticed it until he.
By accident, a camera caught him.
Yep.
And that's when it all started. And then that didn't look good. So the players told him, you know, you should take a knee.
Yeah.
Instead. Now, what did Colin Kaepernick say that first time? Do you remember that?
About, I'm sure you're going
to
tell me.
Oh, I'm going to tell you. When they say they're not doing this to disrespect the flag and they're not doing this to do that and they're not disrespecting this or the anthem, Colin Kaepernick said, quote, I am not going to stand up to show pride in a flag for a country that oppresses black people and people of color. To me, this is bigger than football, and it would be selfish on my part to look the other way. There are bodies in the street and people getting paid leave and getting away with murder. He said, I maybe didn't hear that part. I am not going to stand up and show pride in a flag for a country.
Isn't.
So this whole BS, they're rewriting history.
Right. But you said something that Kerr said, that pandering towards the fans.
Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't that what every league is supposed to be doing, is pandering towards the fans?
Yeah,
so if the fans don't like what they're doing, they're not going to show up. And,
right.
And the numbers are going down in the NFL.
Because of all this bullshit.
Right.
And I don't think Steve Kerr understands that the NBA, the NFL, each NFL team is a business. And their job is to make their customers happy.
Right. And
because their customers are paying the bills.
Well, and I hate that saying, but it is true. The fans are paying the bills for these
players
that think they get to do whatever they want. Besides rape and
pillage
every,
And then Jason Whitlock had the best thing on the show. He had two suggestions. He goes, what they should have done is said, we're going to do like college football. Everybody, all the players stay in the locker room until the anthem is done, and then they come out on the field. Or we're going to tell them you have to stand for the national anthem. If you kneel, you don't play that game.
Right.
You get paid, but you're not going to play.
Right.
That's what they should have done. You want to do another? Should I do some news things, or you want to do another rant and rave thing?
Ooh, I'm.
You want to take a little break on the ranting?
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
Oh.
To this, and we'll save these four pages for that. It's five.
I'm worried about what you're.
New Orleans Saints running back Mark Ingram has been suspended for four games this year due to foul due to not following the league's performance enhancement substance abuse policy. They got to change that, that name, that policy.
Why is that?
Too many words. Four games.
Yep.
They're going to be Alvin Kamara. They're talking about bringing in, this is going to be in our coach talk thing, I think, but it's, they talk about bringing in Adrian Peterson.
I didn't hear about Adrian Peterson, but.
Yeah, they might be bringing him in.
Okay.
Darren Sproles has received yet another contract from the Philadelphia Eagles. Talk about a guy with a golden horseshoe up his ass. I wonder what he has on the head coach. I mean, didn't he tear up his knee again last year? Isn't that why he was hurt?
Yes.
He's going to receive 1 year, $1.415 million, $1 million guarantee, $400,000 signing bonus.
And he's not?
Dude, I don't know what it is. Rookie running back in Seattle, Rashad Penny, the reach of the draft, is expected to start out the season as a third down back. Your first round pick is a third down back.
Your high first round pick, wasn't it?
Yeah. There are still some people out there thinking Penny will be the feature back this season in Seattle. Coincidentally, those are the same people thinking Lamar Jackson is an NFL quarterback. But, you know.
But I digress.
And in the well, no shit section of the news, the NFL has denied the request by free agent running back Mike James application for a therapeutic use exemption for marijuana this season.
You're gonna be shocked that I'm gonna say this. I don't know why they don't just allow marijuana to be,
because it's illegal.
Well, I mean, I understand, but everybody in the NFL
does it
illegally. Yeah. Just like,
so we, because they're breaking the law, we should just say, hey, you know, screw it, just do it. Well, we're gonna make it legal. That your way of dealing with these little children? James sought the exception after developing a dependence for prescription painkillers to cope with injuries he has suffered, including but not limited to a broken ankle in 2013. Listen, buddy, Brett Favre played with a broken thumb. All he did was a couple Vicodin.
A couple? It doesn't sound like it.
Perhaps he should consider retirement if he cannot handle the pain involved in his job. These potheads really think that using pain management via marijuana is an excuse for curbing the painkiller addiction? And that's going to be approved by anyone? I know, you've turned into a munchie man, and everybody should get a bag of pot and a case of Doritos. Wow. And I know there's this whole mentality in the pothead realm that marijuana should be legalized for pain relief. But anyone who doesn't use pot understands that that is just potheads trying to get their illegal habits normalized by society. You don't agree with that?
No, I... yeah, I...
For his basis for the request for an exemption included this. I didn't want to believe that benefits of marijuana, but at that point, I was in so much pain and going through a lot mentally with the demands in the game. I tried it. It gave me instant relief. Oh, my God, we found a magical cure for all pain. Just ask a pothead. Even though he is not technically on a team, he is still subject to random drug tests by the league. Guess what good old Mike James just guaranteed himself for the next year?
I think a positive.
buddy, you're going to need to come to the office in New York every week. Oh, C.J. Anderson has found a new home after being released by the Denver Broncos.
Where?
New York Giants.
Wow. Why?
Oh, wait. No, wait. Hold on.
You got to read your story.
Yeah, I went too far. 5'8", 224-pound Anderson entered into the league in 2013 as an undrafted free agent with the Broncos. He will now play for the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, that's a good spot.
Who lost Jonathan Stewart to the New York Giants.
Yes.
Anderson added to the backfield behind Christian McCaffrey. The Panthers are hoping to now have a highly capable 1-2 punch coming out of the backfield. Would you ever rather have C.J. Anderson or Jonathan Stewart?
Oh, definitely C.J. Anderson.
Yeah, I agree. I like Anderson better, but only because we're comparing him to Stewart.
Right. Well, I mean,
Stewart's old.
Well, Stewart's old, and they also have Saquon Barkley as their running back. Yeah. Christian McCaffrey's not ever going to be a Saquon Barkley.
And right now, even though Anderson's not that great, he's better than Johnson.
Oh yeah.
And unfortunately, it won't make much of a difference in Carolina since whatever McCaffrey doesn't get at the running back, Cam Newton's going to steal, right?
I was waiting for that one.
Yo, speaking of Cam Newton and his girlfriend's illegitimate children, did you hear Jameis Winston's girlfriend is pregnant?
No.
And he asked her to marry her. A little bit backwards, but at least he's doing the right thing.
He's trying.
Yeah.
He's never going to make you happy.
Well, no, not till he returns those crab legs and. Oh man, so C.J. Anderson, not much more than a low RB2 if he's lucky.
I'd say RB2 definitely a flex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd probably be yeah.
Yeah.
You're looking for the odd number one running back for your fantasy roster in the draft. You may want to consider Marlon Mack.
Really?
With the loss of Frank Gore in Indianapolis, Marlon Mack looks to be the clear shot at the number one running back spot for the Colts. I don't know what that will mean for your team right now. It's not like Marlon Mack is going to scare many, if any, defensive players. But, hey, what other option is there in Indy? You got Josh Ferguson, Christine Michael, Robert Turbin, and the rookie out of Mississippi, Jordan Wilkins. Any of those guys scare you?
No. I could have swore they signed somebody, but.
Ravens receiver Breshad Perriman and Max Williams are listed as those among others who are expected to be on the roster bubble this season during training camp. Does this really shock anyone? Perriman has been injured most of his career. He was a first-round pick in 2015 and only has 43 catches during his time in the NFL. Man, he's stuck. He's got Joe Flacco as his quarterback, so it doesn't help him. Injuries haven't helped him out in this area either. Max Williams, a tight end, second-round pick in 2015. Also been banged up. Only has 47 catches to his name so far as a pro. The Ravens added two better tight ends in the draft this year, Hayden Hurst and Mark Andrews. So, I mean, they don't need a Max Williams who's always hurt and Breshad Perriman who didn't do anything. Terrence West, remember him?
Yes.
He visited with the Colts. I don't know if he signed or not.
He had a pretty good career with the Ravens, right?
Yeah, except for last year. He only played 5 games. But he might be the guy you're thinking about.
Maybe. That's
tight end for the San Diego Chargers. This hurts me in Dynasty League.
Oh, yeah, your guy.
Hunter Henry. Missed the season after carrying his ACL. And they went right away and picked up Antonio Gates.
Who they weren't going
to. Yeah, they weren't going to. They were going to let him go. Now they need the man. He was ranked, this is what hurts the most, the number 4 fantasy tight end for this season. Huge blow to the Chargers' hopes in 2018? Or not that much?
They got a lot of talent at wide receiver. I think they'll be fine. And there's also talk that there's looking to trade for a tight end from a few teams. I know.
Maybe we can trade him Mercedes Lewis.
I think they were talking about Lance Kendricks.
Oh. Well, it'd be fine.
I think it'd be.
Last season, the Chargers went from 0-3 to 9-4 after Henry replaced Antonio Gates in the lineup. It will now be up to Virgil Green and Antonio Gates. Virgil Green, by the way, never had more than 25 receptions or more than 250 yards in any of his 7 seasons in the NFL.
Yeah, Virgil Green is like a Packer Ed West. I mean, he can do 2-yard catches, and that's about it.
This one's not going to, like, you're not going to like this one either. How quickly the mighty have fallen.
Uh-oh.
With the drafting of rookie running back Kerryon Johnson and the signing of free agent LeGarrette Blount and Theo Riddick for third downs in Detroit.
Oh, Amir.
Looks like former darling and running back Amir Abdullah.
Where do you think he's going to go?
Game day inactive or on the roster bubble for this year?
I don't think he'll be on the team.
You think they're just going to cut him? Practice squad him?
Yeah, I don't think you can do that. Can you?
The thing that scares me the most is with that, what they just said about Kerryon Johnson, Blount, and Riddick. It reminds me of the Denver Broncos when they would play like 14 running backs each game.
And you could.
Yeah, your running back started, but he only had 4 carries for 12 yards.
I think out of all the backs in Detroit, I think I'd rather have Riddick out of all.
All 3 of those?
Yep.
Yeah, depending on what Kerryon Johnson can do.
Yeah, but he's not going to. Yeah.
Yeah. Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, headed to Canada to try and reinvigorate his NFL career.
With those Hamilton Tiger Cats.
Yes.
Right?
So you think his NFL dream is over?
Yes.
I mean,
there's no way he's coming back.
They already said he's not even going to be a starter in Hamilton.
I'm telling you right now, Andrew Luck's got a better chance of being a top 10 quarterback than Johnny Manziel ever to play.
Well, yeah, Andrew Luck's on a team at least.
Would you agree with that? How about that? If you were throwing money on these two bets, Andrew Luck being a top 10 quarterback.
Okay. Or Johnny Manziel playing in the NFL?
Yes. Or starting in the NFL.
Starting in the NFL.
Yeah, because anybody can be in the NFL.
Yeah, I would probably do the Andrew Luck thing.
Okay.
I'm not that crazy.
Okay.
There was talk, and this is what makes the whole thing either he's not ready for the NFL or this is all a lie, but he came out and said that there were at least 2 teams in the NFL that expressed interest in him. I don't believe it. Why do you go to Canada if there was interest from the league you desire to play for?
Yeah, but one's got to be the Patriots because Belichick thinks he can
light it up,
change anybody.
Dalvin Cook, who was on his way to a runaway rookie of the year last year, looks to be back on track after his season-ending ACL tear. Head coach Mike Zimmer, one-eyed wonder, says he is ahead of schedule and will likely see work during organized team activities, but will be limited until training camp. This is good news for fantasy owners. I don't know if I even
especially
have him.
Especially you.
I don't think I have him anymore. I think I traded him away.
I thought you had him in the dance. No, you have him. I don't know.
I'll have to look. It's been a while. My team. My tight end, Ertz, when I fart. When Eifert, I mean.
I don't know why I let that make you. Yeah.
This is good news for any fantasy owner out there who has him on their keeper roster. He's projected to be ranked at RB10. Coming back after a knee, he's going to be the 10th best running back in the league.
Your team is so good, Dave. You forgot you have a Dalvin Cook on your.
Do I? Is that my
cheddar.
Dynasty?
No, in the cheddar.
Oh, my CFFL? Sweet.
Your team is so stacked, Dave. You can't even remember.
Oh, back to our little airing of the grievances in the NFL.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, I mean, you knew this was going to happen sooner or later, considering the situation we live in this country nowadays. Washington Redskins cheerleaders have filed a complaint with the team saying that their trip to Costa Rica in 2013 for their annual team calendar shoot did not go the way it should have. Now, what year are we in right now?
2018.
Okay. All right. This happened in 2013, apparently. Reports state that upon arrival to the team's resort, the cheerleaders had their passports collected by team officials, and some of the cheerleaders said that they were then required to be topless for a photo shoot at the adults-only resort in which they were staying. This apparently would have been all right, except for the fact that they say the team invited male sponsors and the FedEx Field suite holders to be spectators for the photo shoot. Now, when they say they were posing topless, you know that means hand and arm bra,
yeah,
right?
Right, okay. Yeah.
The cheerleaders are also complaining that they had been personally selected to escort sponsors to a nightclub.
Not topless, though.
No. Those accusations are being disputed by the team director of choreography. She says the nightclub outing was optional and that the sponsors did not handpick cheerleaders to serve as escorts. What are your thoughts on this? I mean, this has nothing to do with fantasy football, but it's football.
Right.
And it annoys the piss out of me that this happened allegedly in 2013. It's not being brought up until now.
I'll let you speak first, and I'll see if I can.
I'm not saying it didn't happen. Just why did it take so long to report? This country is becoming so politically correct right now, with women wanting all these special rights and protections.
Oh, careful.
It's going to backfire in their face. They take a job as a team cheerleader. with the role of wearing skimpy outfits, being on the sidelines of a game to get the fans excited during the game, then when they are taken to a resort to shoot a swimsuit calendar, they get upset when the same guys they are dancing for at the stadium are there watching the photo shoot. Right?
You were pretty good on that one. I was.
And I mean, like I said before, I guarantee you none of the models were topless. They were all covered up during the shoot because there's no way they would be able to put that up. Were they wearing a swim top? Probably not. But I guarantee you the breasts were not exposed at all either.
And let's think about some of the swim tops that some of those.
The swimsuits are skimpier than lingerie they're wearing.
And guess what, Dave? They all have a choice if they want to do it or not.
Exactly. They don't have to go to a resort.
Right.
Good. We're on the same page. Yeah. I thought you'd have to be my conscience on this.
No, I...
We're not done yet. I still got four pages. About this.
About cheerleaders? Okay.
Yeah. This newfound women's right deal is going to lead to the cheerleaders being taken out of the football game altogether in order to avoid any and all complaints from the women, correct?
I would agree with that.
And when that happens, what's going to be the first thing that happens?
Then all these cheerleaders are complaining.
The women's righties are going to be bitching and moaning that, how come there aren't any women on the field? How come there aren't this? How come there's any female representation at the game? No one forced any, like you said, no one forced any of these women to take the job in the first place. They all took the job knowing it's not like they thought they'd be out there in sweatpants and t-shirts.
And they all knew what they're going to get paid ahead of time. It wasn't a, I mean, I am shocked that they don't get paid that well. I mean, the NFL teams could throw
pony up a little more money.
Yeah, I think so. But
you know how many cheerleaders they have, though? Well, holy shit.
Yeah, but
that's the big stadiums. I mean, this is going to continue until it's illegal to even look at a female, and then watch out.
Yeah, then I'll be screwed.
Like I said, we're talking about Fantasy Girl. Sports Illustrated website used to have a lovely lady at day spot on their website, which, you know, they copied from the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football League Fantasy Girl spot on the MyCFFL.com website. Check it out, MyCFFL.com, because it's still there, because we're not afraid to adore the women that grace our world.
We had lawyers that tried to take us down.
And they didn't. And even that lovely lady of the day on SI.com was never as good as a Fantasy Girl spot that, you know, we have.
That, I was gonna say.
Where you have to guess their measurements.
That when Dave just picks out every.
Exactly.
Throws a rock.
I'm going to tell you. Make this guarantee to everybody.
Okay.
This podcast and the MyCFFL.com website will never get rid of the Fantasy Girl page or segment because it is done to honor beautiful and talented women. We have been doing it for over 22 years. The Redskins took down the Who is the Hotter page from their cheerleader section of the website. Who is hotter? So they had that up on the website. No one complained about it.
Right.
Cheerleaders didn't complain. But now that this happened, let's take that down right away. You would think that if the cheerleaders were going to complain, it would be about that. Comparing cheerleader A to cheerleader B, which one's hotter?
Right.
Hell, even if I thought that was a little over the top. Now, we used to do Fantasy Girl of the Year. Remember that?
Yep. Right. We broke it down.
Yep. But even during that, it was still more than just pick the hottest woman. There was still some respect given out to the ladies. And a bio about them so that you know something about them and rather than just what they look like. The more years I spend on this planet, the more I believe the women's right movement is not helping out women. It is doing more to hold women back. Women are now complaining that men don't hold the door for them. Chivalry is dead. Which, I tried to do this. When we went to California.
You try to hold the door open for someone?
Number one, you can't because they're all automatic doors now. Oh. I tried to, the car we rented, Subaru Forester, by the way.
No comment.
I still am heterosexual.
Barely.
But we didn't get a key that had, you know, the automatic door thing. So I had to unlock it manually.
Wow.
Because they gave us a different key. So somebody must have lost the other one.
Right.
So I'm thinking, well, you know, I'm going to go. I'll open a door for my wife before, because otherwise she has to wait till I open a door and hit the unlock button, you know,
right.
Like in the old days. So I went to open up. You can't even do that because the lock is only on the driver's side.
Oh, there's no...
There's no key lock on the passenger side. So, I mean, it's getting worse and worse and almost impossible to do anything for a woman out of chivalry and respect. But that's what they begged for. It took until now for me to fully understand the words of a great man who put together the 35 undeniable truths of life. Truths of life.
Is this you?
Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, geez.
He had a fact of life that stated, feminism was established so as to allow unattractive women access to the main street of society. This is being proven more true as every day goes by, and it's a sad day for America.
Wow.
Thank God.
Thank God
for Donald Trump. I don't know what that... But that's the news, everybody. And we're going to go to... We had a little email from our guy that always sends us text messages and emails.
That's
Wayne.
Right. Yep.
He suggested we try this little new thing called Coach Speak, where you read off a quote from a coach from the last week or so, and I try and tell you what he was really saying. So if this works,
okay.
If this works really good, we'll make it a segment, and I'll get a little theme song and a little thing for that. But we'll see. Send us an email. mycffpodcast@hotmail.com or strap1971@yahoo.com. Let us know what you think of the Coach Speak segment.
Okay.
Now, this is our first time, so give us a little leeway. So
bear
Dan,
with me here.
You read the first one, okay?
All right. Number one, Adam Gase of the Miami Dolphins said of third-year running back Kenyon Drake, he's ready to bust out this year.
No.
What's he really saying, Dave?
What he's really saying is, God, he better show up.
We have no one else on our team.
We just spent a lot of money on Frank Gore, who could barely walk anymore. And I don't want to have to go to a running back by committee situation. I'm hoping to save some of that cash by cutting Gore before the season starts.
I kind of agree.
You're right?
I think you hit that one right.
Okay,
on
good.
Okay. All right, number two, Jay Gruden said of rookie Darius Geis. Geis will be in the first and second downs with Chris Thompson maintaining his passing down role.
So what he's really saying is Geis can overcome the childish video gaming and social media problems he showed during the draft, which allowed us to pick him where we did because we are going to need him in the backfield considering Chris Thompson is completely incapable of pass protection.
Well, I thought it was because Geis can't catch the ball.
they want Chris Thompson in there as little as possible because he can't pass protect.
Well, yeah, but you got to admit, Chris Thompson played. He played well.
Well, he did
before he got injured last year.
Yeah, he just couldn't protect the quarterback.
Well, yeah, and he's just too small. But
yeah,
I just thought you were going to go with Darius Geis. Just can't catch a dick. No, I thought Darius Geis couldn't catch a ball. But I guess I'm reading him the wrong way here. All right, so Doug Peterson said of Carson Wentz, "We have no intention to rush Wentz back. He will be ready when he is ready and when he feels he's ready."
So what he's really saying is, please, please, please get better. I don't want this to turn into an Andrew Luck situation. Besides, I don't know if he'll be able to catch lightning in a bottle twice with Nick Foles.
Wow. By the way, I really like this.
You like this little thing?
This little thing.
Okay.
I'm hoping Wayne likes it too. All right. So here, Arizona coach Steve Wilks, not Steve Wilko,
no.
Okay. Steve Wilks said on Friday, May 11th, Sam Bradford is our starting quarterback.
So what he really means is, I don't really want to say he is the starting quarterback for now. We only brought him in to keep a seat warm for whatever quarterback we ended up drafting. Who really knows if Josh Rosen is a future or not? Right?
Okay. All right. I like that. Arizona head coach Steve Wilks again also said, Rosen is already showing an understanding of the playbook. The guy is extremely smart.
This one is really easy to read.
Okay.
Rookie better keep his trap shut, thinking he knows more than the coaching staff. This ain't UCLA, and you aren't playing with mommy and daddy's money anymore. Sit down, shut up, and quit acting like the spoiled child you are. You ain't all that. Right?
Wow.
Okay.
Sean Payton said, by all means, we don't want to sit there and run the tread off the back with him early in the season. I'm assuming he's talking about Kamara.
Yeah.
Early in the season, because this thing is a marathon.
Yeah.
He's talking about Alvin Kamara.
Alvin Kamara.
Not over making him carry the ball too many times?
No.
Okay.
No. What he means is, crap, with Ingram suspended for the first month of the season, there isn't much else for us to do than run Kamara till he goes down. After all, Jonathan Williams ain't going to do anything as a backup. I wonder if Adrian Peterson can still have some tread on his tires.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
Speaking of Sean Payton, he said this of tight end Kobe Fleener,
ooh,
who got cut.
Okay.
Fleener is still trying to get medically cleared after suffering a concussion in week 12 last year.
What he means is, we have this guy on the roster and he was a huge bust last year. I hope the doctors don't find a way to clear this guy so we can get some cap relief, which they did. And that, everybody, is our first attempt at coach speak. You ready to go over some gambling?
Yes.
All right.
Ace Rothstein was a hell of a handicapper. I can tell you that.
I got to warn you, Clark. They don't play the same games here that they do at them regular casinos.
And with the season starting up, that means it's time to do some gambling. I got the website updated, so it's going to be completely... We still have those two bets for Nick Foles and Carson Wentz for the start of the season. So that's still on there. But we're going to put all these up there. Like I said, the draft is done. Vegas has come out with the over-under on team wins. And we're going to run through those really quickly. Each team, you're going to let me know what you think. I'm going to tell you what I went through each team's schedule for the year. And I have their record.
Well, this is going to be really interesting because... Okay. You actually did homework.
Yes.
And I literally went.
Throwing away $5.
Yeah. I might as well light this thing on fire.
That's what gambling is. It's fun. So the first team, Arizona Cardinals, over under 5.
This was a tough one.
I know.
Okay. I wanted to go under,
mm-hmm.
but I went over.
I went under. I have them at 4-12 this season.
I figure they play Seattle twice.
Yes.
And I think this, I'm kind of...
Because they're screwed with the NFC West.
Well, I agree. But I also don't think the Rams and the
49ers?
The Niners are as good as everybody says they are.
Oh, wow.
I don't think they're as dominant as they think they are.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm winning 4 games. Atlanta Falcons, over-under of 9.
Oh, this to me, this one was easy because... I mean, Matt Ryan's amazing.
Oh, MVP.
I went over.
Highest paid quarterback in the league.
I went over.
I did too. 10-6 I have met. Baltimore Ravens, over under of 8.
This one was also easy.
Really?
I went under.
I did too. 7-9
Ooh,
okay. I don't know how they're going to win 7.
I was going to say, that. I think you're...
giving them a little too much credit?
Yeah, I think
well,
you
have to understand, they played Cincinnati twice.
Right.
I think they played Cleveland.
But figure they split those two games.
Okay.
But they're going to get killed by Pittsburgh.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, we'll see. Buffalo Bills, over under 6.
Oh, I think this one was easy also. I went under 6.
Oh, I went over. I went 7-9. 7-9, I went over.
I'd love to know who
they're going to win.
I wish I had a schedule in front of me.
Carolina Panthers, over under 9.
Well, I know what your answer is going to be.
8-8 I have met under.
I figured. I went over 9.
Did you?
Yeah.
Chicago Bears, over under 6.
Under 6.
I did too. I have them at 5-10. Cincinnati Bengals.
How they're going to win 5, I don't know.
Over under 6.
Oh, easy under.
Oh, I have met over. I have met 8-8. Now, this one's tough. Cleveland Browns. I thought the number was
fair.
About fair, yeah. Over under of 5.
I think we originally talked 4.5.
Yeah.
I'm hopeful. I went over.
I know you love the Browns for some reason. I went under. I am at maybe 3-13.
Ooh.
3-13. Hugh Jackson's final.
We might
season.
Have a rainbow bet on that. I got to look at the schedule.
Dallas Cowboys 8.
Well, see, now this is where...
It's a tough one.
This is where I hate, because immediate thought was over, right?
No.
I feel like it's a
trap. Well, the immediate thought was over. And then this is where I went, I'm going to go and find the schedules. Oh. So I went back and redid all the teams. And I got to Dallas. I'm at 7-9. I have them under.
I'm still going to go over. Over? I think with Zeke playing, I think their defense got better.
Denver Broncos, 7.
I don't like the Broncos this
year. I don't either. I have them 6-10.
Yep, I agree.
Detroit Lions, 8. This was simple. I'm at 4-12.
Ooh, I think I'm leaning over.
Really?
Yes.
You're going to be over 500? The Detroit Lions?
Yeah.
Wow. That might be another rainbow bet.
Okay.
Green Bay Packers, 10.
Oh, easily under.
Oh, over. I've been 12-4.
Of course you do.
I do. Went through every game.
Who's the four losses?
Oh, my goodness. I'd have to look again. Are you going to look up your schedule?
I was thinking about it, but...
Houston Texans, 8.
I went with a healthy Deshaun Watson. I went over.
Yeah, you're buying into that whole Deshaun Watson garbage too, huh? I went under, 6-10.
Okay.
Colts. 6.
And I'm not pessimistic. I'm not pessimistic like you.
I'm not pessimistic. I'm realistic.
Andrew Luck's going to be healthy. Okay. I'm going over 6.
Okay. I'm healthy. I've never thrown a ball either. I'm under 4-12. Jacksonville Jaguars, 9.
I think the Jaguars got lucky last year. I'm going under.
I am at 8-8.
Wow. We agree. I like that.
Kansas City Chiefs, 8.
Yeah, see, I'll be curious what you say, but I'm going under 8.
I went over. I'm at 9-7. Barely over 8.
So you're a big Mahomes fan.
No. I just think they're a good team.
Okay.
Los Angeles Chargers, 9.
Once
now,
again.
They did lose their tight end.
Well, and...
Antonio Gates.
He's not all that. Antonio Gates will shoot up a little testosterone.
A little cortisone.
Yeah, whatever he needs to shoot up. And I'm going over 9.
I went under. I'm at 8-8. Los Angeles Rams, 9.
I think 9's a good number.
Yeah.
I barely think they can squeak out a 10-win season.
Really? I'm over at 11-5. Miami Dolphins, 6. This one was tough.
Why?
Because I have them at 6 wins when I went through their schedule.
Oh.
So I'm like, all right, well, let's pick one. So I'll take the one that gives me the best payoff. So I went with the plus 130 and went under.
I think that's what I did.
Because who knows?
They do have Kenyon Drake.
Oh, my gosh. Number one running back, right? Minnesota Vikings, 10.
I think here's... Your winner of the NFC Central or NFC North?
That's a rainbow bet.
Over 10.
I am at under 9-7. Wow. New England Patriots, 11.
New England Patriots. Okay. You're going to be shocked in this one. I think there's a lot of infighting. I'm going under 11.
I was
going
to say that also. I think that team's in trouble. They're in trouble. They lost their defensive coach.
Yep.
They've lost all kinds of receivers. Gronkowski's not happy. Tom Brady's not happy.
Belichick's not happy because
hasn't explained why Malcolm Butler didn't play in the Super Bowl.
And he has no control over Brady anymore.
Nothing.
And Rob Gronkowski. I agree
with that. I have been 9-7.
I think they're going to probably still win that division.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because they're the only team in it.
Right.
New Orleans Saints, 9.
Okay, so now this is my hope now.
Okay.
I'm going under 9.
Are you?
Yeah.
I am at 10-6.
And the reason why I'm going under 9 is I want the Packers to have a high draft pick.
Oh, because they get the pick. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. New York Giants, 6.
Oh, this was easy.
Under.
No. Oh, they're going
over. Oh, wait. No, I have them over. I have 7-9.
Yeah. That's it?
Yep.
Ooh, I think.
He's a Big Ten running back. Settle down.
Okay.
New York Jets, 6.
But OBJ is going to be playing too.
Yeah, right. Exactly. 6-10.
Jets over. I went over 6 because it just seemed like it should have been so easy to go under.
Right. I am at 7-9 also. Oakland Raiders, 8.
I know where you're going.
This was tough, so I took the best payoff. I took over.
I kind of figured. I went over too, but I.
9-7, I have them.
I like Derek Carr.
Eagles, 10.
I guess I believe in them. I'm going over.
Vegas thinks they're going to be under.
Really?
Well, I mean, they're down at -130 for the under and even for over. I took them over. I took 11-5.
Yeah, I don't think by much, but
Pittsburgh Steelers 10.
Wow.
This is what I thought was easy.
I think the Steelers are the most talented team in the NFL.
Really?
With Bell?
Yeah.
So, I'm going to go with the fact that I think Bell's going to be in there.
All right.
So I'm going over.
I went under 8-8.
Shock.
49ers so who, 8.
Who do you have coming out of
the... I haven't figured that out yet. That'll be on the next podcast.
Okay.
That's called a tease.
Oh. Okay. So, 49ers.
Because I never mentioned it to you. So, next podcast, we're going to do our where we think the teams will finish.
Well, see, now I'm going to have to keep my paperwork. All right. So, I'm going... I'm not believing the hype. I'm going under. I think...
Seattle?
I think...
No, it was Frisco?
Frisco?
Frisco at 8, yep.
I think that's gonna be a push. I think 8's the right number for them.
So you went under?
I went under though.
I went over. I went 9-7. Seahawks 8.
Easy under.
I agree. Tampa Bay Buccaneers 6.
I'm just gonna guess for you.
7-9.
Oh wow. Yeah. I think I'm riding the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Listen, I don't bet with my heart. Bet with my brain.
I love the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
I'm going to ride that pony until she...
So you're going over?
I'm going over.
I went under. I'm at 6-10. Two more left. Titans at 8.
I joined your bandwagon. I'm going over.
I believe I went... This was one I wasn't even going to make a bet on, but I'm like, well, shit, I'm not going to leave one out.
Right.
Because I think they're going to be 8-8.
Really?
Yeah. So I think I just went under. I don't know for sure. You have to look on the website. Another reason to check out the website, mycffl.com, on the wager page. I don't know if I went over or under, but I picked one.
You had to go. Okay.
Well, yeah, I don't. And then finally, the Redskins, over under 7.
Easy under.
Yeah, I'm at 6-10.
I like in, I can't even think of his name, Smith, quarterback.
Oh,
Alex.
Alex Smith, you do?
I mean, I like the guy, but I don't think he's...
I think he's a downgrade from what they had in Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I agree.
But you want to go over to Heisman Trophy winners? That list is out also?
Yep.
I just picked 4. I went Bryce Love of Stanford, +700.
Okay.
I went Justin Herbert because he's, well, Oregon, +1,800. I went Tua Tagovailoa of Alabama,
+700.
And I have Damian Harris of Alabama, +5,000.
Damian Harris, where is he?
Second from the end.
Oh. Okay, so I went with J.K. Dobbins, running back, Ohio State.
Okay.
And you're going to love my logic.
Because he's Ohio State. And
he's Ohio State, and I hate Ohio State.
Yeah.
So with my luck, he's going to win it.
Rock.
Yeah.
Okay.
I also went with
Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah. And then I also went with Khalil Tate.
Oh, I like him too, yeah.
And I think Jake Browning had a bad year last year, I think.
The thing that kept me from Khalil Tate is they got a new coach this year.
Okay.
Which scares me a little bit. But all right. NCAA College Football Championship.
How many did you pick here?
3-7 I have.
Oh, wow. Now I got to change mine.
I have Alabama, +225.
That's so easy.
Well, I know, but I need some of his money back. I have Wisconsin at +2,500.
Okay.
Oregon at +10,000. I have Oklahoma.
So, and you said you're betting with your...
My head.
Your head. Okay.
Well, except for Oregon stuff. That's...
Okay.
I have Oklahoma +2,500. LSU +3,500. I have TCU +9,000. And I have Auburn +2,500.
Okay. So... I'll jump on the Alabama one. Just
yeah, because it's easy money.
It was just easy money. Once again, then I took Ohio State at +750.
Okay.
Stayed with Georgia. Took the guy I love. I love Jim Harbaugh, so I went Michigan. Oklahoma, they're going to miss.
Their quarterback?
Yeah. So then I do like Auburn.
That was hard for me to go on Auburn because I can't stand Auburn.
Okay. Yeah, but that's all I got.
All right. So that's it for the gambling. As you will learn, we always tell you, bet with your head, not with your heart. And it's only gambling if you don't know what you're doing. Don't bet any more than you can afford to lose. You can check out our picks on mycffl.com. Use them if you want. Send us an email. Let us know what you think. Teams that you like and things like that. But until that happens, we need drinks. And we need to honor the lovely women of the United States and all over the world.
That's right. We're going to honor these women.
Exactly. Because we respect and appreciate the female body. Right?
Right.
So it's time for the Fantasy Girl. And here we are in the club. It's a little less crowded in here now that SI.com is not in here and all the other do-gooders, the other left-wingers, you know, Steve Kerr's of the world. And it's time for the Fantasy Girl of the Week, our weekly dive into gorgeous ladies.
Models.
No, not a model this week.
Wow. I think I'm rubbing it off on you.
We have an actress. We have
an actress. Oh, yes.
And you can thank Wayne for this one, too. He suggested her.
Oh.
Morena Baccarin. I'm trying to find something here for... Is this going to help you? Probably not.
It'll help on top.
All right. Morena Baccarin, born January 2nd, 1979. I didn't realize this. She's a Brazilian-American actress currently starring as...
Shoot, I forgot her name on Gotham.
Now, in the thing I was looking at, it said Leslie Tompkins, but it's not Leslie. It's Leah.
No, it's Leslie.
Yeah, but they always call her, because I just watched one before you guys showed
they
up.
They always call her Lee.
Leah. Lee Tompkins, but it's Leslie?
I believe it is.
Okay, so good. Leslie Tompkins on the Fox television series Gotham. Great show.
You know who she's married to, right?
She's married to the Jim Gordon.
Jim Gordon. Yeah, very good.
She was born in Rio. She moved to New York at the age of 10 when her father, the Italian journalist Fernando Baccarin, was transferred there. She attended LaGuardia High School of Music and the Performing Arts and then went to Juilliard. So she knows stuff.
So I'll let you finish.
Oh, go ahead.
You're missing out. I mean, really current here. She's in one of the greatest movies of all time right now, Deadpool 2.
Is she?
Yeah. She was.
We had this talk before. I'm tired of all the superhero movies. It's somebody at work said, "Are you gonna go see Deadpool 2?" And I said, "No, I'm tired of all the superhero movies." And they go, "But this is different. This one's funny." I'm like
it is.
It's still dumb. Yeah. Baccarin married American film producer and director Austin Chick in November of 2011. Their son Julius was born in 2013, and then Chick, the idiot that he is, filed for divorce in 2015, citing irreconcilable differences. I found out what that means. It means he was doing someone else.
So can we add that into coach speak?
Well, we could, but he's not a coach.
Okay.
On March 18th, 2016, Baccarin and Chick's divorce became official. Okay,
can I just stop? Because it goes right through my head right away.
Right.
Can you only imagine, you're praying when you're imagining of who he cheated. Or,
that she'd be better than her?
Yeah.
She better be.
You would think, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because she's hot.
She's.
I mean, she's gorgeous and I'm sure very smart.
She was in, well.
She went to Juilliard.
I know. But she was in Homeland too and Homeland.
Oh yeah, I couldn't write down all the shows that she was on.
She's amazing.
In September of 2015, Baccarin said that after her divorce was finalized, she planned to marry her Gotham co-star, Ben McKenzie, James Gordon, adding that she was pregnant with their child. The couple have a daughter, Frances, born in 2016. Baccarin and McKenzie announced their engagement. This is pretty much like Jameis Winston, you know, a little bit backwards, but hey. They were married in Brooklyn in 2017. You ready?
First, is she the hottest woman on Gotham?
No, I'm still a Tabby fan.
But you are off
the child?
Off,
yeah, yes,
off,
I'm
off a Catwoman.
I'm off of Selena Kyle, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I just wanted to put that out there.
And she was the hottest until who's the daughter of the gangster that was on there?
Oh, yeah.
She was hot.
She was fine, too.
But she was hot because she played a bad girl.
And I think you were in love with Barbara at one time, but she got kind of crazy.
Yeah, she's really crazy. And
okay,
she became a lot hotter when she became a bad girl, Morena.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, so the brown-eyed Brazilian actress with black hair stands 5'7". She weighs 123 pounds. She wears a size 6 dress. Her measurements are?
I'm going to go 35B.
32B. She's a 34-inch, but her bra size is 32B.
Okay.
So you take that forever. You just want a ding.
I want a one ding on that because I got the B right.
Okay.
Because that's the important part.
Okay, but waist.
But we love these women, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Respect and adore.
Okay, waist. Okay.
Do you need a different picture for that?
Now, are we going with the fact that she just had a child? Are we going with...
No, I think this was in her prime.
Oh, okay. So that's going to change everything a little bit.
There's got to be...
I'm going to go then... I think I'll go 23.
24.
Gave her too much credit.
One too many bananas. And her hips. Brazilian, though.
Oh, 36.
37.
Oh, wow.
32B, 24, 37. Morena Baccarin. Check her out on the website, mycffl.com, on the Fantasy Girl page.
Bravo, Morena. I love this one.
Morena Baccarin. You got ideas for the Fantasy Girl, and you don't, you know, fall into the whole politically correct thing, send us an email. Let us know. You got questions, comments, concerns.
Do you think our listeners fall in that whole?
No.
Okay. Just
most of them are men. You got questions, comments, concerns? CFFpodcast@hotmail.com or you can get Dan at
strap1971@yahoo.com.
Until next time, when we go over our records for the teams in the NFL for each division and who's going to be in the Super Bowl and all that kind of fun stuff. Enjoy your holiday weekend. Take some time to remember the most important heroes.
People that gave you your freedom.
Exactly. The ones that didn't make it home. So until then, be good.